Welcome to this audio recording by the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm Jim Falk, President of the Council. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to promoting public awareness of global issues and the ways in which they affect the Dallas-Fort Worth region. Become a member today at dfwworld.org and help us connect North Texas with the world. This podcast is made possible through the generous support of Haynes & Boone, LLP. We hope you enjoy it.
So, Kamala starts with this one dress and pretty early on realizes that there's no way she won't be able to grow her business because people keep coming. One of the women who is a character in the book, Sarah, I think stood for so many. She knocked on Kamala's door, and at that point, any knock on the door, as you can imagine, was reason to jump, because you had no idea what was going to happen or what that day was going to bring. So this woman knocks on Kamala's door and says, "Listen, my name is Sarah," and she was about 30 years old, and Kamala actually thought she was about 50. She said, "My husband died several years back. He was a high school principal. I'm a widow, and I have three children and no way to feed them. For the past several years, my brothers-in-law have been supporting us, but all three of them have lost their jobs. One was a city worker. He gets no pay. He gets no salaries in the Taliban. He has no money. Another was a mechanic for the Northern Alliance. They're now at war with the Taliban in the north. He's not getting paid. And the third is a computer engineer. And you can imagine they don't have much use for his skills." And she said, "Listen, I have never held a job in my life, but I know how to sew. And if you give me work, I promise you will not be sorry." And that kept happening. And so over time, Kamala ends up growing her business to a network of 7 to 8 shopkeepers just around her neighborhood of Kharkhana. And there's a bazaar, Lise Mariam, which she basically becomes her second home with her younger brother. And she creates this factory in what used to be her parents' living room. And one thing I think that struck me so much was that this was not just a place where young women would come to work. It was also a place of real community. You know, at a time when these young women couldn't be anywhere together, Kamala's living room became their social center. And they would do what young women do when they get together. They would complain about their family. They would swap jokes. They would listen to Farhad Darya, who was a famous Afghan crooner. They would listen to him in an old Chinese cassette recorder that Kamala's father had left for them at the house. And they would talk about the one thing that the Taliban could never stop, the Titanic. Because Leonardo DiCaprio was more popular in Kabul than he ever was in the United States. This was a city where you could not have any image of the human form legally. You could not have any TV. You could not have video. You could not have movies. You could not have imports. And yet there was no one who had not seen the Titanic. And this was what people kept doing. Kamala was hardly the only one. There were women who were selling cotton. One woman who carved out a hole in the back of her house and would send her young son onto the street to say, "If you are looking to buy milk and fruits and vegetables, my mother is selling them in the back of the house." One woman I met actually sold burkas. Her daughter would sew with Kamala during the day, and then at night they would run to plug in the iron if they had power for a couple of hours, do the pleats of the burqa, and her mother would take those to the shop the next day. And my personal favorite was a young woman who taught Microsoft Office and a women's hospital throughout the Taliban years, because they'd gotten funding, and women's hospitals are one of the few safe spaces, because the Taliban would indeed raid women's hospitals, but they would not be there as often because they didn't want to be around women. And so young women, I know a lot of you fly a lot, and you sort of, when they tell you to put away your computer, you keep it at like 3/4. That's how these young women taught each other computers, because they never knew if they were going to be raided. And if they were, they would shut the computer, throw it in their bag, and run. And everybody had the drill down. And yet they were teaching Microsoft Office. And so I think that for me, it was just so incredible to see that from every small opening they had, these young women would exploit it, not just for themselves, but for their whole community. And
for more information about the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth, visit them on the web at www.dfwworld.org.